Association meeting at Armona, California. Is, long from my
full tank that can do it all. I told our whole Sunday. I said, I will tell this beautiful man, but if you must tell him, that the President elect me to bring the sermon on Friday night. If you don't want to come, I'm going to understand. That will go whether I do or not.
The
But yet, on the other hand, you know, we must be realistic like this. He said it on the day of the hour. He told his churches to occupy till he come. He said, do business for him till he comes. And he has a churches in the world doing that today. Tomorrow, the world is looking for a lot of changes. The colleges are interested in the material side. They're interested in the pollution. They're interested in the energy situation. And the things that they say we're running out of. The politicians are interested in world governments. With all of the many ramifications of nations colliding in their ideals. And they're trying to work out some way for world government. Religious leaders, the major religions of the world, are looking for a world church and somewhere or other to get everybody together. The ecumenical movement. And they're looking to tomorrow for success. The economists are examining the financial field, the materialistic field. They're worried about our money. They're not going to work. But they're worried about our money. They're worried about it tomorrow. They're worried about depression and collapse and bankruptcy. And so they're making plans against that for tomorrow. I'm not saying that these folk are upright in thinking of tomorrow. The Lord said that no man builds a house except he first sit down and count the cost. Certainly, that's wise in the wisdom of the world. But the Lord's churches, his people, should be concerned about what kind of churches the Lord will have tomorrow if he delays his coming. What kind of churches will be in existence tomorrow if the world stands as it is now? Of course, there will be some material needs. There will be material needs for churches. We'll have to have buildings. Churches tomorrow will have to have buildings. And I'm glad that some folk are providing for tomorrow in that respect. So, well, the Lord's going to want me, and that's all right. Nobody else will either. And we haven't wasted a thing. But if the Lord delays his coming, there's going to have at least some material things. Tomorrow, we need some good Christian men that will help to really establish a Christian society and environment in the world. Mean business in the world. We ought to be interested in that. There are some spiritual needs that will still exist tomorrow. If our Lord doesn't come, there's going to be some spiritual needs. Because sin will be present. No matter how society changes, no matter what philosophies may come or go, sin will still be in the world.
Amen.
It's in the very nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
Men may become prosperous, and they may become rich. They may become real high class. But sin will be present tomorrow. You put it down. Sin is going to be present tomorrow. It's not going to be any different at all. Then, because sin will exist, and men will need the same gospel tomorrow that they need today and that was needed yesterday. The same gospel, exactly. I read that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
something else. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. And it's going to still be the power tomorrow for those that believe. That means that the spiritual birth will still be necessary tomorrow for men to be prepared to meet God. And if all of these things are met, these needs are met, then that calls for some fishers of men. You remember that Jesus walked along and saw Peter, saw Andrew. Mark chapter 4, he said to them, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Fishers of men, not hunters of men, like Nimrod of old, to hunt them up, to build some great organization. Not a headhunter, but fishers of men themselves. He said, you follow me. Men that were taught of Jesus Christ will be needed tomorrow, in the world of tomorrow, if Jesus doesn't come. Fishers of men that love God, men that love the cause of Christ, that are taught of the Lord, and are taught to love souls, and that are taught of God, to love men as He loves them, that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fishers of men. That'll be needed tomorrow. The world will still need true churches.
Amen.
True churches. Churches that love Jesus. Churches that have not left their first love. When we look at the seven churches of Asia, beginning in the second chapter, there was the church at Ephesus. He said unto them, "I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You've left your first love. You say, is that so, winning? The first love is the love for Jesus Christ before there can be a love for souls of men. And when that ardor cools, when it cools down, and in the last days the Lord says it's going to. In the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 24, and He said, "Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And we may be seeing that today, but if the world stands until tomorrow, if Jesus doesn't come, then how much more prominent will it appear? Men, with a coldness toward Christ, toward His cause. But if the world stands, the world will need churches that are filled with people that love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Needed. Have left their first love. Not headhunters, as we've mentioned. Not those that are parading under some banner of evangelism, that they might get a great count. Not professional soul winners, no, but warm-hearted, genuinely converted men and women that love God from the heart will be needed tomorrow. That's the reason that we insist that men must be converted, that men must be regenerated, that men must have an experience of grace in their hearts. If the world stands, tomorrow the churches that will be needed will be churches that will not compromise truth, either in teaching or in practice. In the Revelation, the second chapter again, the church at Pergamos. I skip over Smyrna purposely for the present, but the church at Pergamos is a church that compromised. They were a church that did not deny the faith. They were a church that had furnished some martyrs, and yet they come to the place to where they could get along with the doctrine of Baalism. They come to the place after where they could cooperate with Nicolaitanism, with Paulism, to where they could cooperate and with headquarters like that. And if the world stands, the Lord doesn't come to mar our churches that will not compromise the truth, will be needed. Not those with whom anything goes that we might show some results, but those that will be faithful to God and with only what God says goes.
Amen.
I'm not just simply churches getting along in the world. Another thing, if the world stands, one of the churches that will be needed tomorrow will be churches that will be filled with men. I'm not a woman here. God bless your heart. I love my wife, and I love the women, Christian women, and I respect them greatly. But it's a shame and a disgrace when the women must take the lead and must push on, and that furnish a fertile breeding ground for the leadership of women in the wrong place in the Lord's churches. The Southern Baptist Convention is an example of it today. If the world stands, then there's going to have to be some men. I mean, I don't mean just men generically, including men and women, but male men in the Lord's churches that will love God, that will have backbone, and that will head their house, and that will take their place of responsibility in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the world will need churches like that, that are filled with men, and not those that have furnished a breeding ground for Jezebel, like the church at Thyatira that permitted Jezebel to teach and to lead astray. You know, if I didn't know one word of Scripture concerning the qualifications of preachers, I wouldn't believe in women preachers simply because you never heard one that's trying to preach that didn't preach heresy. You just put it down. And this woman was doing that in this church at Thyatira. The churches of the north will have to be churches, and the world will be churches that will obey God. That will obey God. The church at Sardis was a church that was plague church. You look at the third chapter of the book of Revelation, first chapter verse, and the church at Sardis had a name that they lived, but they were dead. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead, filled with activity, all kinds of it, and earthly, fleshly, movements in the world, and so-called humanitarianism, but at the same time with little or no spiritual discernment whatsoever. Not feeding upon the Word of God, not feeding upon the spiritual truths of God's Word, and built up and edified in the most holy faith. If the world stands, the world will need churches like that, that are not plain church in the world. They'll need churches that will stand, for truth, and not just be satisfied to have a reputation in the world. Then you come on through, and there's a church here, the Laodicean church. I'm not too sure, after all of these years, that the dispensationalism is taught in these seven churches of eight, because every condition that you find in these churches has existed among the Lord's churches in every age. And it can exist in the last day. And so today, we're not to discard the lesson from one and place it way back under and say that's not happening today, for it is. Just look on down. Here was a church, the Laodicean church. And the Lord said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You're neither cold and now hot. You're lukewarm. Church that was satisfied as she was. And her spiritual discernment and her fervency in spiritual matters was lacking. She was a church, and that's true. But the church needs those that will be laborers together with God. I'm just lukewarm. You know that too many folks just drag along like a calf. You ever try to pull a calf where it didn't want to go? You just set its feet and you'll plow furs all the way. And that sometimes is one of the things that discourages others when they try to pull those that are dragging their feet like that, not willing to stand with the Lord and be a laborer together with God. They want to labor by themselves and to labor of all. They want to praise themselves and not God. And unless they get the praise, then they take out, you see. Well, the Lord's going to need churches tomorrow that will be churches like Paul wrote concerning the Romans in the 12th chapter. He said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh, here a few Sundays ago, I think to be exact, this lady sat over here and shouted. And I nearly went out the door. Fervent in spirit. People that are really fervent. You know, they're fervent about everything else but the Lord's work. And it seems to be such a choice in our day. But listen, the Lord will need some churches tomorrow that are not like that. If His work goes on, churches that are strong enough to stand a little bit of a persecution for Jesus' sake. That's just Smyrna Church. Well, that lovely church. Well, it was a church that would not change with the times.
Amen.
If the world stands, the world of tomorrow will need churches that will be standing for the same age-old truths. They may not be standing in buildings like this, but they'll be standing for the same truths.
Amen.
At one time, our forefathers stood for these truths in Brush Arbor. Some of you don't know what a Brush Arbor is, some of you don't know what a Brush is. But then you think of something called your hair. But at one time, there were Brush Arbors. And I found out several times where Paul got a thorn in the flesh scooting on those bridge benches under Brush Arbor. Sure did. They stood though for the same truth. I don't know tomorrow what will be standing in. I don't know the condition. We've seen a lot of conditions change and in the last 10 years. You put this down that God will lead churches that will be standing for the same truth. Yes. However it may be. Whether it's in a bus, whether it's under the shade of a tree, or wherever it is, we'll need the churches to be standing for those same truths. Churches that are not changing with the times. Another thing, if the Lord delays His coming, there will be churches needed tomorrow that will be standing for God's Word. Will not deny His Word. All this Philadelphia church will not deny the Lord's Word. If we really believe in the inspiration of the Word of God, then why doesn't it have more authority over our lives? If we really believe it's inspired of God, why doesn't it teach us something, you see? That's the kind of church it's going to be. The inspired Word of God, if it is God's Word, then we're to honor it. This church had not dishonored the name of the Lord. They had not dishonored His authority. They had not dishonored His Word. They were still standing in a very bad time for the inspired Word of God. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
believe that it's mine and nobody else can give it, if I know the truth. But nobody else did it. I'm happy that I can be there in the Word of God. Depending upon Him, not in human wisdom, but in the wisdom of God. Churches like that will be to baptize those in the name of Christ. I'm ashamed to own the authority of Christ in baptism.
Amen.
You know, I'm kind of sick of some of this stuff. I have to apologize. Does the word mean anything? I'm glad how they administer the ordinances.
Amen.
That's what the Lord intended for the church to do. And tomorrow, churches like that will be needed.
Amen.
I've had the Lord's Supper somewhere off on the end tonight. Observe it on Sunday so people can observe it. Learn from exactly like the Lord has placed new churches. There will be a need for churches that will make disciples of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll teach His word. There to teach it. If somebody leaves, well, John told us about them, didn't
he? Amen.
He said, yeah, they're just not of us. Go in and preach the word. Teach the word. Churches of tomorrow. Would have to be churches with a mission vision. You know that we can kind of give stuff something. But if the word holds, tomorrow we'll need some churches that will have a mission vision. And we will take some pastors and we'll take some men so that they make up the Lord's churches.
Amen.
Mission visions. I don't agree with every missionary. Every missionary does. But I agree with the mission going. Lord, bless our heart. The kind of churches that the world will meet tomorrow are exactly the kind of churches that we need today.
Amen.
Exactly. You know why? Against life. That's a spiritual truth. That's a natural law. Life begets life. So what kind of churches will we have? That's kind of nice. The Lord has set up His church within the world, and she is to go forth and make disciples just like you. But you know it's going to have that kind of Christian thing. We're church of tomorrow. If we have that kind of a church, we're going to have that kind of members. And if we have that church tomorrow, we're going to have that kind of members today. Right now. Today. You know, we're having a cold, indifferent members that sometimes they kind of have religious spasms occasionally.
Amen.
But that's about it. We have enough of that. And the world won't need them tomorrow because they're not doing any good today.
Amen.
Consistency.
That's amen.
The thing that is needed today is going to have that kind of church member
mm-hmm.
at tomorrow. You know that John Kennedy, man, I didn't want to do that thing, but he said something that we all remember. Ask my brother, your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Churches have really allow themselves to be disrespected because they do not demand the things of those who join them.
Amen. And amen.
We have enough of hope. We have a name that they live. Names on a church roll. You never see them in church.
Amen.
Yeah, you never see them witnessing. They have a name that they live, but it was the dead. They show by their dead works. Have enough members that drag their feet. Enough members who could care less about the truth, but who care about the truth tomorrow, there's going to have to be some people today who
caring about the truth.
Amen.
Likes one to be at my duty. So I'm both prepared with the excitement of emotion, prepared with placement interviews, you know, when the least old veterans, but those that are continued to build up from the Word of God, it's just bordering on top of the road from one to another in their life. Build. That's the kind that you need tomorrow, but you won't have unless we have some today.
Amen.
Like that. We have enough of members that play church. They just play it being a church man. And they play it attending, they play it meeting, they play it being a Baptist, and they play it witness. They're just a play thing with them. But you know, if the Baptist church is tomorrow, there's going to have to be some Baptists.
Amen.
There must be some faithful pastors. The faithful pastors tomorrow. There's going to have to be some faithful pastors today. Faithful to the Lord and to His Word. God called men, not men that took it upon themselves, and not a profession, but men that are called of God. Being called of God, then that is the first thing in your life. First thing. When God called the man to preach, He didn't call him to something. He called him to preach. First, He called him first to preach. He called him to preach. There must be some good shepherds, some under shepherds for the Lord. God called him to be under shepherds for the Lord. Let me be teachers of the church. I want to turn, you know, every now and then I reread these three books. The two letters to Timothy and the letter to Titus, they're preacher books. They're written to me when he was preaching. And it tells a whole lot. But in his first letter to Timothy, Paul wrote from verse 13 or verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." You know, some people think that there's also when you preach doctrinal truths. I know doctrine is teaching. Well, yeah, we all know that. But it's not just teaching anything. We could teach English in church, but it wouldn't be teaching the Word of God. Well, we could teach math in church, but it wouldn't be teaching the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which gives thee the apostles, the laying on hands, the presbytery. Preach the Word. Take ye to thyself unto the doctrine. Repeated it. Continue in thee, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm not talking about soul salvation, not being saved spiritually, but folk that are saved from error, folk that are saved to truth. And if a preacher don't preach doctrine, then where are men going to learn it then? Where are they going to learn the truth concerning the Lord's churches? Their history, their mission. Where they're going to learn the truths of the mission of the church and her relationship to the world of unsaved men at all about, unless they're faithful pastors. Faithful pastors must be students of the Word. And they must teach the Word. Whatever else they must learn, they must be students of the Word. And Paul also wrote that him and them like this, he said, to do the Word. He said, if time's going to come in the fourth chapter of the second letter, when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having teaching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, to return of the fable. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, we can become lopsided, and it's easy to do. Well, listen. we can, we're to be concerned about churches, about our church that the Lord has placed us over as an under shepherd. We're to be concerned. That's our first concern. But that concern goes deeper, you see, than just simply having a crowd. It goes into to the fact that men must be saved by the grace of God. And the saved then taught the truths of God. And taught in such manner until they'll be able to be witnesses in the world. God bless your heart. That's the reason that the churches in the book of Acts grew. That was because people loved God, and they were taught, and they were church-oriented. And because they were, they went out loving men and won them to the Lord and to the Lord's truth.
Amen.
Now, I read in the very beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ in his churches. Walking among his churches, the picture is there of him holding the seven stars. And maybe it's the messengers to those particular churches. Maybe it's pastors, but it's those with the message from the Lord. But he's walking among the churches that the candlesticks are the churches. And we are not left in the dark about it. As he walked about, beholding their order, he was looking. What a wonderful description of it. Here was the Savior in the very midst of his churches, and he was interested in what they were doing. He was interested in the work. And no doubt, he was laying up in store reward for our many that were faithful to him. But here was the Savior. Here was the Commander-in-Chief. Here was the Lawgiver. Here was the Supreme One that was standing in the midst of his churches. And I tell you that no less real is the presence of our Lord and his knowledge of the work of his churches today.
Amen.
No less real is his presence. The one that died for us shed his blood that we might be saved. That shed his blood that he might purchase a church that will one day, out of which he will bring a bride. The Lord Jesus Christ that died for us. Shed his blood, came out of the grave and put to silence the arguments of foolish men and left unexplained that empty tomb. That Savior walks among us. He looks, he beholds what we're doing.
Amen.
He beholds our order. He beholds our work. That church or that Savior that walked among these churches pictured as walking among them, now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the one that I came to God by. He was my mediator when I needed one. He's my advocate now, and he pleads my cause, and therein is my security. Today, we have a Savior that beholds, and he looks upon the affairs as they have to do with men and his church and his churches in the world. And the one that died for us, who loved us, the one that shed his blood upon the mercy seat one day as he envisioned, walked among the seven churches of Asia, will literally walk again physically among his churches, called out of an unbelieving world and called out to meet him in the air. The Savior that said, if I go away, I will come again. Is the Savior that they even now made as he views the scenes of life and the affairs of men, be rising to his feet to step off the throne and to come as the church of the living and the dead, and to take his people home to himself and take out from the graves the bodies of sleeping saints and unite those
that have been made one in Him in the family of God, saved by the grace of God. He walks among the churches. As He walks, He not only has the name that it is, for our reputation so often is so false. Here's one whose reputation is untarnished. He's the one they look to because it is indeed He that lived, then He was dead, now He's alive forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Andrews, for that very good message. I'd like for all of us to stand at this time. Brother Andrews, as we have done, the last program of all of you, we hope to come and give you a hand and appreciate you in our behalf for this great message. You may be seated. Policy to elect the committees the evening before the session the next day. That gives you an opportunity if you're on the committee to be preparing what you want to prepare. I made these up from the minutes, and as I look out across the congregation, I see a lot of the men that I have on here that are not present. But we'll start out if we get as many as one man on each of these committees. We'll be able to have Christian Education Committee, Brent Friedel, Ken Cooper, and A.P. Schumacher, Brother Cooper, but you think this security only 1 year. The other two I'm satisfied to be here as well. You can prepare it and have them look over it and sign it. Christian Literature Committee with John Stevens, A.B. Story, and William Roberts, Brother Stevens. The Obituary Committee, Earl Burns, H.C. Walton, Russell Sarah. I think Brother Shell resigned the church where you pastor now, hadn't you? Or to have. So, may have to get someone else, or two of them to give up for that. We don't have hardly enough pastors in our association or all the committees.